Where sometimes people can argue that heritage objects are dead and stop transforming as soon as they are in a museum collection, we can also argue that heritage does transform further through, amongst others, participation in museums. Hi, and welcome to the pod How to Heritage, where we talk about and have conversations around issues pertaining to heritage transformations. This pod is part of the Heritage Transformation Network at Uppsala University, funded by CIRCUS, which stands for Center for Integrated Research on Culture and Society. However, the content and views expressed in the pod belong to the content creator and not the network nor its members, although some may share these views. And for today's episode, the content creator is me. My name is Inge Zwart. I'm a PhD student at the Department of ALM at Uppsala University. And ALM stands for Archival, Library and Information and Museum and Heritage Studies. My research focuses on participation in museums, specifically how professionals and participants work together to fulfill museums' social role in society through various participatory projects. So in this episode, I want to deviate a little bit from the macro perspective that has been taken in the previous pods on, for example, heritage transformations and the concept of ignorance or memory landscapes, but I want to talk about heritage transformations in smaller, more practical terms, as they happen in museums and in participatory projects. This episode is for you who are interested in learning more about contemporary museum practices, museum participation, and research connected to this, and if you're curious about another angle to heritage transformation. The goal is to introduce some basic concepts and point out research that I think is interesting, give a few examples of participation in museums, and inspire thoughts about heritage transformations in practice, and as you might see them around you. So maybe the next time you're in a museum, you look at an object differently. Imagine it's a snowy day, or maybe it's warm or raining. Either way, imagine you're going to a museum. The Museum of the History of the People of the World. You've never been there before, but you know they have an amazing collection of spoons ranging back 3,000 years. So after all the artwork of the ages, the fashion, anything you'd like to know about knives, you finally arrive in the spoon exhibition. Each spoon that you see has had a different life before they were displayed to you. The spoon was probably in a depot for a long time before you saw it, been in the conservation space of the museum, and there it was handled by conservators, researchers, curators. Before that, it could have been part of a private collector's collection, or perhaps found in an archaeological dig and the museum stores part of these finds. The spoon has been then carefully dug up, passed through several hands, restored if possible, treated, chipped, moved, labeled, categorized, dropped, numbered, scanned maybe. But before all of that, the spoon was used as a spoon. And in all these instances and more, the spoon has been transformed many times before you came to see it, before it was presented to you as heritage. In critical heritage studies, when understanding heritage as something constructed or performed, it's not about if the object itself changes. It does change, of course, through handling, through restoration, simply because of time. But also, we understand heritage as being changed through the way we look at it, use it, discuss it, who gets to discuss it, who listens to the discussion, who brings up the spoon, and why do they bring up the spoon, and at what moment do they bring up the spoon. And from that understanding, where otherwise sometimes people can argue that heritage objects, once they arrive at a museum, they stop transforming because they are now in a museum collection, we can actually see that spoons or other forms of heritage stories can transform further through practices in the museum, amongst others, participation. In order to make my case, I will take you through my own research and other people's work on heritage museums and participation, and I will bring up the Spoon exhibition by way of explaining. For my PhD project, though, I did not go to any Spoon exhibition. I did, however, do ethnographic research into museums who work with participation. So I did interviews with museum staff and did participant observation in the Museum Europäischer Kulturen, also called the MEC, in Berlin, part of the Staatliche Museum Berlin, and a really different museum, the Fisksätra Museum, which is located in Nacka Kommun, a municipality close to Stockholm in Sweden. Participation in those museums have various forms, and in other museums they will have even different forms. But we can summarize it as on-site, in-person moments of interaction with and between visitors or participants and the museum staff or museum space. Often the people who you can call participants are considered stakeholders, which means at the minimum they have some interest in the topic of the museum. Sometimes the objects or stories in the museum are known to them personally, or they might even contribute their own objects or stories to the museum. So in the next few minutes, I'll bring up a few examples from both the MEC and the Fisksätra Museum to illustrate two ways we might consider heritage transformation in the case of museum participation. First, I look at how objects handled in participatory projects can transform in the processes and practices of interaction between participants and museums. And the second way in which heritage transformation becomes an important topic in relation to participation is through an understanding that not the object itself changes, but actually the way museum practices heritage and the way heritage is being made in museums. And that participation challenges some of the more traditional understandings of heritage making. Let's start with the transformation of heritage objects through participation. We go back to the Museum of the History of the People of the World. We're standing in front of a row of spoons, and on the side of the display, there's a sign. And it says, "Do you want to help us gather more information about these spoons? Come this afternoon for a workshop." Something similar is what the MEC did. They invited six people who had personally used objects that they had collected to do a workshop, which is called Revisiting Collections. That's a method used by other museums as well, originally created by collections trusts in the UK. And this method has a detailed program, and it goes a bit like this. First, people are invited to see and touch several objects, touched with gloves, and they are then presented with a few questions. For example, what does the object remind you of? What do you want to know about this object? Then at the second stage, they receive the collection records. So that's all the information that the museum has about this object. The participant reads this, and then they answer another set of questions. This time, what information is missing? What would you want to add to this information? What do you know that is not part of our collection record? Then, after those question and answer sessions, all participants sit down together and discuss their answers, while a curator is present only to listen, and facilitators write down notes from the discussion. Then, the final and very important step is that these notes, together with the written answers, are supposed to be added to the collection record. So the information about the object that is kept by the museum at the end of the workshop, ideally, information is added to this object by people whose voice had not previously been included in the conversation about the specific objects taken up by the museum. So here people are invited to reinterpret from their own perspective, their own experience, their own memories, an object that we can consider heritage. So in that very moment, they talk about, let's say, a spoon, not as a spoon, but as a representation of a period they or their family lived through. So discussions might arise between other participants. They might connect with another person who has a similar story, a similar heritage. Does the object then transform in that moment? And rather, a way in which the museum object is changed, I would argue, is through the gathering of new types of information that are subsequently connected to this object and allow the object to be continuously transformed after this workshop as well. So the transformation of the heritage object does not necessarily have to stop at the moment it arrives at the museum and is presented in an exhibition. In a participation project like this, people can be invited to reinterpret and bring new information. So there's a few different people working with these types of topics and bringing up important questions related to this example. What, for example, Susanna Boersma shows in her book, The Aftermaths of Participation, where she discusses several projects around Europe where museums work together with refugees or flight migrants, as she calls them. A lot of museums find it hard, or are not so good at least, at taking the last step of actually bringing in whatever came out of a project. So in the case of revisiting collections, new information about objects, and interpret them, integrate them back into the collection record. And what's related to this is then the question, what happens with this information when it is integrated into a museum information system or knowledge management system or collection record? And that's something that Ina Maria Jonsson talks about in her work. Ina Maria is a colleague of mine here at the department, and she discusses cases of crowdsourcing participation projects in different memory institutions and makes a suggestion that what happens with this material that is created through such projects, so that's both digital data and other, as well as other information, as well as photographs collected by a museum through crowdsourcing project, goes through a process through which it becomes legible for the institution and their information system or infrastructure. And that is related to a lot of critical questions that are brought up by various people, including myself, about participation in the museum. Because still, this all happens within a museum space and organized by a museum institution, right? It's not a free-flowing change or transformation of a heritage object, information about that object. So that's one line of thinking about heritage transformations in participation. Heritage objects might continuously transform when they are collected in a museum, and the inclusion of information about such objects of that are of a different nature than what has been previously collected. As I pointed out with the research of Susanna Boersma and Ina Maria Jonsson, however, this is not a straightforward or easy process. So now that we've discussed the possibilities of if heritage objects can transform in participation projects, I want to propose a second idea that we might consider heritage practices also to transform in participation projects. And what I mean with heritage practices is, for example, how objects end up in museums, what objects are collected, or what immaterial heritage is collected, how it's treated. This all can be understood as different from, if we just go back to the spoon exhibition example. There I mentioned these things that happen before we see a spoon in an exhibition. It's in a private collection, it's dug up, it is treated, handled, interpreted before we get to see it. But it can be quite different when we talk about heritage that comes to the museum through participation projects. For example, in the Fisksätra Museum, the other museum I worked with for my research, a few years back they had a project that culminated in an exhibition called Mat, or Food. And for the exhibition they brought together and worked together with a group of women living in Fisksätra. And like most people in that neighborhood, they have different cultural backgrounds. And they came together in the museum to talk Swedish with each other around the topic of food and food cultures. And the exhibit then came out of these conversations and featured recipes written up by them from their various backgrounds, as well as stories about eating, about being in the kitchen, about food making. So this type of exhibit making is also called co-creating or co-producing. And it's an example to look at three changes in how and what heritage is taken up by a museum. For example, we can see a different way of collecting. If those recipes are then taken up into a museum collection, where spoons might enter the museum through a donated collection or perhaps through active collecting practices, this type of project allows the museum to not necessarily know what will come out of the exhibit and what will be collected. And if they decide to include these outputs into a collection, a museum can use this as a way to diversify collections and ultimately change what type of heritage is pointed out as significant. Another thing that changes is that people become able literally to talk back at the museum. So people can relate differently to objects or heritage, and it can become more of a dialogue with the museum. There might be a space for disagreement created, for multiple voices and ideas to come up. And then the third point related to that is that how knowledge is created through heritage or through objects, through museum collections, changes, and through the idea that expertise is distributed amongst many people and not only people who hold specific topic knowledge as a museum curator would. So there's an interesting theoretical underlying idea that I think can bring this idea a bit further in heritage studies. So there's a movement to consider heritage as networked or an assemblage. That's something that Sharon MacDonald calls it, or dialogical, as Rodney Harrison calls it. And I understood both of them as similar, and Rodney Harrison quote can be helpful to understand what they mean. So this view on heritage includes, and now I quote Harrison, heritage as emerging from the relationship between a range of human and non-human actors and their environments, end of quote. And then this participation in museum projects might be understood as something that he proposes at the end of his book, which is, quote, new procedures that challenge the traditional separation of specialists, politicians, and bureaucrats and stakeholders in the identification, conservation, and management of official heritage, end quote. So at the core of this is that the idea that heritage is made, continuously made. And if we think about that and introduce different people that might have not been involved in the making of heritage before, because they were not considered specialist, politician, bureaucrat, now these procedures and processes change. And also, following that, how and what heritage is made changes. So what? What can we take with us after I brought up these two ideas about heritage transformation in participation projects? I'm thinking about questions such as, who gets to transform heritage? Can multiple meanings of heritage coexist in a museum space or outside? And also more critical questions about participation methods in museums. If it's now about inviting people to the museum to tell their story, it's important to think about who is left out of these projects, who doesn't make their way to the museum, and for what reasons. And do people really get to tell their stories if they want to? And there are also some questions about the concept of heritage transformation to consider further. I'm thinking about, can we study heritage transformation from close up like this in the present? Can one look at something and say, this is when heritage transforms, or heritage making transforms, or is heritage transformation something we can only discuss retrospectively? So this is what I'll leave you with, and I'm happy to continue this as an actual conversation. You can find my information at the website of Uppsala University. For now, thank you for listening to the podcast How to Heritage, organized by the Heritage Transformation Network. This episode featured a track called Arctic Draba by Blue Dot Session, used under their Creative Commons licensing. Thank you.